us this morning to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and we'll begin reading in verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we say yes and amen to this prayer. And Lord, in particular, this last statement that we just read, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach us thy statutes. And we come and we thank you that you have so blessed us with your word. We pray, Lord, that it indeed will be the solid, sure foundation for that we stand on. Enable us to contemplate it and to understand it. Help us, Lord, to apply it. And that when it's all done, even as we were singing a little while ago, that we would glorify thy name in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you have received greeting cards, Christmas cards, and in the Christmas cards you have wished everybody a Merry Christmas, and then we usually make a statement, and a happy and a blessed New Year, right? A blessed new year. I want to say that the year 2016 is done, and that we can honestly say with John Newton, that wrote Amazing Grace in that second stanza, that it is grace that has brought us, saved us far. And that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. We can look back in the year, and I think each and every one of us, we can say, there's been toils and snares, there's been dangers. But that we can say, it is by your grace that we have arrived on this day, and that grace will lead us home. And I want to say to you this morning, I don't want to say Happy New Year. I want to say to you, blessed, a blessed new year. When I was thinking about what am I going to be preaching on, I thought about this portion of Scripture in Psalms 119. The 119th Psalm, this portion that we find here, is very interesting because this Psalm, we're not really sure who penned it, but we do know it is part of inspired Scriptures. All Scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. One of the treasurers of Scripture knowledge says that this psalm was probably composed by Ezra, and it is another of the alphabetical psalms that consists of 22 parts. It starts off with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it is broken down. There's 8 verses to each of the letters. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each and every one of those verses starts with A, B, and on so following. And we find that that in this portion of Scripture, answering to the number of the Hebrew letters, every part being divided into 8 verses, and each verse begins with that letter, which forms the title of the part That is the first part of 8 verses. And then scriptural knowledge makes this statement, and that's just kind of got a hold of me. I came to this portion of scripture, I had preached from it on several occasions, on occasions like this. But as I read this statement, as connecting with the first Sunday of this year, the first day of this year, it is this particular observation. It is an elegant, important, and useful composition, the chief subjects of which are the excellence of God's laws, or the excellence of God's Word. You know, the Old Testament consists of 39 books. But you and I, we have another 27 books of the New Testament. And those two, the Old and New Testament, are God's complete revelation of Himself to us. And there that statement, the excellence of God's laws or His Word, and the happiness, and I want to put in the word, the blessedness of those who observe them. Think about it. And so when we stand in front of the new year and we say, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, or we as Christians, we say, we desire that we can say a blessed new year. And when we make that statement, it is not just a glib thing, but I believe that every Christian can say, and that springs from his heart, that all that you come in contact with would know the true blessedness of being joined to the Lord Jesus, the Lord and the Savior of sinners. That's the true happiness, and that's the true blessedness. The blessed. As Psalms 119 starts off with these two verses, let me just mention that. Psalms 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. And then you remember Psalms 1, verses 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man. And so I want to say to you, this blessedness, what is that? This word blessedness is a stronger word than happy. One of the study Bibles that I have, the Geneva Study Bible, puts it this way. A stronger word, to happy to be blessed, is to enjoy special favor and grace. If you have your John MacArthur Study Bibles, I don't refer you to the page. But here's what he says. Blessed from the perspective of the individual, this is a deep-seated joy and contentment in God. Is that not really what every person desires in this life, that we are a people who are truly happy? But I want you to know the Word of God deals with much deeper than that, in particularly when you contemplate, even as I quoted John Newton's song, through many dangerous toils and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me saved thus far. What a statement to think that, you know, here are events in the course of our lives that are oftentimes very sad and sorrowful, and they lay heavy on our hearts, but yet at the same time, that I know that it is God that has blessed me, and that I have His favor in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I can say, I am truly blessed. The world's mentality of joy and happiness is this, is that when the moments are just right and the things that I like and they are coming my way, and I mean we are happy and we're on top of the mountain. All you had to do is watch the recent football games. And the back and forth and the to and fro and all of that, and the cheering, the sadness and the anger and all of the misery that goes with it, with the winning and the losing, and that for moments there are on the mountaintop and joy, and then when the game is lost, then we're all sad. But I want you to know, that's not the case. This is not what the psalmist has in mind, or this is not what the Word of God has in mind for us. What God has in mind for us is truly blessedness. Think about it. The portion of Scripture that we read, that in verses 57 down through verse 64, there is this heart of stopping and evaluating, where am I and how am I walking and pursuing after the things of God, and where am I taking spiritual inventory? Now, those of you that are in the business world, I know that at the end of the year, people take inventories, plans and purposes and profits and losses and are we successful? Are we making money? And there are all kinds of plans that are being, those of you that are in retail business, there's always a comparison from to this date to the year before. How are we doing and what are we doing wrong? And what are the things that are on shelves that do not move, and what do we need to do to clean house and all of that kind of stuff, right? There's a constant pressure as far as that. But I want you to know this text, as we read about, is not a stopping in an inventory of a business, but it is a thinking of, where am I in my progress, in my walking and pursuing after the things of God? Listen to this statement. In chapter 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. What do you think? The psalmist is saying, I thought on my ways. And he's talking about a spiritual self-examination. And he's stopping, he's asking, where am I in my progress and how am I walking on the path that the Lord has given me? What do you think? Is that difficult? I'm asking you. Is that a difficult task? Is that a difficult task in the year of 2017? Those of you that have families and jobs, and I mean, you're running to and fro, and the things that are in our lives, our hobbies, our entertainments, everything that's in the course of our lives, all that we have at our fingertips. Is it an easy thing for us to stop and to see what the psalmist is saying? That the psalmist is saying, I thought on my ways. I want to stop and take a spiritual inventory. Where am I at in this path and this walk of faith? Where am I? You know, we wake up in the mornings. My path usually is that I wake up in the morning, first thing I want to do is I have to fix me a pot of coffee. And then, you know, the coffee, it has to be good, and then you sit there for and drink a cup of coffee, and then you have to, you know, kind of get yourself woke up, and then I try to, and it doesn't happen that way all the time, then I try to walk the dog. I walk the dog for about 10 minutes, put him on the leash, walk him up and down, bring him back to the house. And then I usually turn on the television, see if there's anything that happened in the night or whatever events. And then after I had my coffee and I listen, walk the dog and I listen to the news, then I try to go to my study and have my scripture reading and my prayer time. I go over the list and then I look at the things that I want to do and on and on and on. But there are sometimes things that come in the course of that totally interrupts me. You know what I'm talking about. We find ourselves jumping right in the middle of the day, and we find ourselves running to and fro with this responsibility. I've got to be there, and the kids need to be there, and I have a doctor's appointment, and I've got this and that, and I have exercises and all kinds of stuff. And then when it's all said and done, you find yourselves a week later to say, hold it a minute, time out. I haven't even had time to stop, to be still and know that God is God and that He's my God. And then when I think about to stop, I thought on my ways. And how difficult that is for us to say, do I stop long enough for me to find out the path that I'm on, and Lord, will you help me to evaluate? I've thought on my ways. The word ways, the Hebrew word is called dibish, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It's from the same root, to proceed, to go on, to walk, to dread. The way in which God goes in order to instruct, to save man. The way in which man must dread in order to be saved, holy, and happy. God's manner of acting and proceeding in providence and grace, and the way that man should take in order to answer the end of his creation and redemption. In other words, I thought on my way, is this way that I'm on, is that God's way? Is this the way that God has laid out for me? And I want to say to you, young and old alike, teenagers, all of us, I want you to know this book is a vital book that God has given us in order for us to know the grace of God in the Lord Jesus. And this book reveals to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I want you to know this book. This book is not a prison book. This book is not a ball and a chain. This book is not a causing you to be in a place where you're not able to breathe and to live. This book has been given that blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In it he meditates day and night. Amen. Think about it. So that's what he's saying. I thought on my ways, and what is it? Well, I'm contemplating, thinking on, where am I at? Am I on this path? Now, what happens when you begin to evaluate and you stop long enough to have a self-examination? What is it that you're going to find? You're going to find growth? You're going to find that you're living by faith? Or are you going to find that God is not in the center of your life? Or are you going to find that there is some things in the course of your life that my thoughts and my eyes and my mouth, and are you going to find that your affections are perhaps somewhere else, that your heart is not in the place where God has to be, that somewhere down the line that you see that my time and my money and my devotion and my energy, it's not exactly what God has in mind for me. You think about it for a second. When you think about what God has in mind for us when it comes to family and work and church and children and hobbies and entertainment and everything in the course of our lives, you think about it, God has spelled it all out here for us. Isn't that right? Now, when we stop and we evaluate ourselves, we're going to find exactly what the psalmist found, that, wait a minute, there are areas in my life that I have not honored the Lord, even as he said there in verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to thy word. I mean, isn't that a wonderful thing when you think about it, once you stop and have an evaluation, examination? Let me illustrate it this way. When something is not right with you physically, what do you do? What do women do when something's not right with them physically? Women go to the doctor, right? This morning I was instructed by my wife that, you know, we're going to, in this new year, there are some things we need to give attention to. And she meant by it, there are some physical things that we need to address, being at our age, that we need to go to the doctor. We need to have an evaluation and examination, EKGs and that kind of stuff, you know, more of a thorough thing. That, well, I don't have a cold and I don't have a headache, but, you know, occasionally when you have a little chest pain or something, then you say, well, I think we need to go to the doctor. Now, men, if something's not right with you and you start sweating, your arm starts hurting and your chest tightens up, you say, ah, well, it must be something other than that. And your wife tells you, you say, you need to go to the doctor. And so what do men do? Well, the men will just raise the wall and do the best they all. They go to the doctor eventually, kicking and screaming, but they're going to be there. And they tell the doctor, say, no, doctor, I'm here not because I wanted to be here, but I was forced into being here. Right? That's the physical part. The spiritual part, and I think this is where we can learn from the psalmist when he said, I thought on my ways, And then when he recognized and realized that there are many areas in his life that is not working, and there are things that he must address, that the first thing that he does and he learns from the psalmist is this, is that I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. And what a great, great truth. Isn't that a good truth? What do we find when we see that in many areas we have fallen far short of the glory of God? What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Well, there's two ways you can handle it. The first way is the wrong way, that you can say, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstrap. I'm going to make some New Year resolutions and I'm going to change that. And I can do a whole lot better than that. And I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to go ahead and do this and this and this and that and on and on. And you'll just try to muddle your way through it without going to the place of where the mercies and the true blessedness is found. And where are they? They are at the throne of grace. And it is according to His Word. Is that not what David said? You remember after he was found out, and David said, blessed is the man. When he writes in Psalms 32, and he talked about the fact, blessed is the man whose iniquities and whose sins have been covered. Is that not what the Word of God says? What do we do when we find things are far short of the glory of God, and we see that my affections and my heart and my time and my energy and my money and my church and my family and my wife and on my job and this and that, when you take a serious look at, you're going to find sin. You're going to find sin of omission. You're going to find sin of commission. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Where is the blessedness and the happiness found? Where is it found? It is found in the truth of the Scriptures, that the Scriptures tells us that if we confess, this then is the message we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and when you do that, I want you to know, when you do that, I thought on my ways. What is it that you find? Or you run to the throne of grace. And I want you to know, you need to call it exactly for what it is. If the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and if all of these things that you have discovered as you've thought on your ways, you bring them to you and you find one ugly mess, what do we do with that ugly mess? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Think about it for a second. We find failure and sin of rebellion, sin of omission, sin of commission. And so we see here that he implores the mercies of God in verse 58. Has anybody ever bought anything? Maybe you've got it here in the last month, that you got a gift from someone, or you bought a gift from someone, and it came in a box. And in that box it says made in wherever, way off in another country. And then it said on the box, assembly required. Anybody? Did anybody get one of those gifts this year? That's not a good illustration. Nobody got a gift that said, has anybody ever bought anything in the course of your life that the box says is simply required? And then on the inside, when you open up that box, it said in instructions, do not take back to the retailer where you purchased it, right? And then you got it out. You laid it out, the whole living room, it's all there, all pieces. screws and nuts and plastics and rubbers and all kinds of stuff, A and B and C and on and on and on. Then you get the instructions, a big old 12-page thing, and it starts on it. And you can tell that the instructions were not written by people from the United States. Anybody? Then you look at the first page, and then you look at the second page, and you say, forget it. You took the instructions, you said, I don't need that. And then you start assembling it, and then when it's all said and done, you say, it is not working. Think about it. You know, the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that means that He's given us instructions. When it pertains to the church, when it pertains to the home, when it pertains to our behavior in work and on the job, when it pertains to our relationship with people that are saved and lost, He's given us instructions that has to do with all kinds of things. Sexuality, raising of children, our relationship with each other, and He's given us instructions for everything. And yet at the same time, all you have to do is look at our society, and you look at those people that name the name of Christ. You know what they've done with at times with God's Word? They said, I'm reading it, I don't understand it, forget it, I'll just do it my way. And then when it's all said and done, you say, it is not working. Something's not right. Something's not right. Because I want you to know, God has given us His Word. It is exactly that which you and I need for every part of our lives. And I'm talking about finances, husbands and wives, children and parents, parents and children. We're talking about on the job. You see, the Bible is not just a book that we open up on Saturday nights to say, well, I wonder what our Sunday school lesson is going to be. And then on Monday, we have no connection with it. But as we live our lives, I want to say, how does the Word of God apply to us here? Rhett, you're going to college. And while you were at home, you had mom and dad watching you. Kincaid, you're going to college, and while you lived here in Sand Springs, you had mom and dad, and I know mom. She's a mom, and she's watching you. But now you're off in college, and at the same time, you don't have mom and dad watching you. At the same time, are there any guidelines and helpful truths of the Word of God that will apply where you are as singles in a college, in a lost and dying world, in a world where the emotions and the affections of the flesh are constantly pulled at us with a string and would cause you to follow in a place where somewhere down the line that you would regret and look back? And the answer is yes. Let me tell you, I used to hear when I was younger the statement that when it came to raising children and teenagers, is that parents at times made statements and said, let them live and let them learn. Let them make their own mistakes and then they're going to learn. That's not what God has in mind for us. Do you know what God has in mind for us? As fathers and as husbands and as wives and as children, and as those that are redeemed, what God has in mind for us, listen to me, is He's saying to us, learn and live. We cannot be at the place to think that somehow or another that God's Word is I want you to know God's word is as you seek it and as you read it and as you desire to understand it, even as we read, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statute. Teach me thy word. There is not one person in here that can say or would say, I don't want to be happy. I want to say to you, I want a whole lot more than happiness for you. I want you to be blessed. And where does this blessing come from? This blessing comes from God's word. And so I want to say to you that when we see how life and the application of or not applying God's word to our lives, the effects it has of the not working, it's awful in it everywhere you look. Homes are divided. You think about what all people chase after and pursue after for a moment of pleasure, for a moment of satisfaction, what all is being pursued in order to give a moment of bliss. But that's not what God has in mind. God has in mind, when He lays hold of people's lives, that they would be blessed indeed. The next thing that we see in this portion of Scripture, and we've already looked at that, I thought on my ways, and what did he find? We found that he needed the mercies of God. And then we see that he says, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. What do you think? Thy testimonies. And what are they? Well, that's the word of God. What is God's word saying? I turn my feet unto your testimonies. God's word is right. And God's word is true. And as we apply it by faith, I want you to know, he's the one. There is not a person that comes to the throne of grace and say, Lord, will you teach me your word? And that the Lord's not going to teach that to you. He's going to do that most assuredly. Isn't he? And then he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. We used to have a little picture in our house where I was raised up in Germany. And Patricia, you'd understand that. Morgen werden wir sparen. Tomorrow we're going to save. What do you think? You know, that hung up there, and every day you look at it. What did that say? Well, tomorrow. I want you to know something. When you think about it, and I'm encouraging you to stop and to look where you are, recognize the failures and run to the mercies that are in Christ, and then at the same time, recognize and realize that there are some things that you have not done that you want to do in order to honor the Lord and His Word and for your blessing in your life, that you can say, I want to turn to that. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. One of the commentators said, he did this with the utmost speed and did not trifle with his convictions nor seek to drown the voice of conscience. Well, you know, the conscience is a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you stop and evaluate, then you see, here's what I should have done, I have not done it, I need to do this, and then isn't that a wonderful thing that the Lord drives you and shows you the need of His mercy? And then there are things that you say, I have not done that. I want to do that. When do I do that? Tomorrow? Do I do that tomorrow? No, we need to do that. The original word, which is translated delayed not, is amazingly emphatical. And it says, I did not stand what? Or as we used to express the same sentiment with myself, I was determined to so set out. The Hebrew word as well as the English strongly marks indecision of mind, a positive action being suspended because the mind is so unfixed as not to be able to make a choice. Translate, delayed not. I want to say to you, there are some of you here this morning, you have never embraced faith in the Lord Jesus. Maybe you have, but you never publicly professed Him. What do you think? Where is the true happiness found? The true blessedness? Where is it? Where is it? You see, people will say, if you follow the Lord Jesus, then you're going to be put in a box. Your life's going to be over. Everything's going to be great. It won't be no color. All the fun is over when you embrace the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. When you begin to follow Him with the eye of faith and pursue after Him, then your life is done. I got news for you. This is the devil's lie. You are in a box. You are in a prison house. You momentarily think that you're happy, but I want you to know something. What you truly need is the blessedness that comes by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus. And the very fact that you've been joined to Him by faith and have your sins dealt with, and that the life that you live is the life of faith until you see Him face to face. What is the Lord given us here in this book? Wow, what a possession. You guys started this morning in your Sunday school lesson, the firm foundation of God's Word. Man, isn't that a good thing? What do you think? All Scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be what? Barely furnished unto all. Is that what it says? What does it say? Thoroughly. Husbands, you want to learn how to love your wives as Christ loved the church? Would you like to learn that? Wives, do you want to learn what it means to submit to your own husband as unto the Lord? Would you like to learn that? See, what we've done in our society, we've thrown the instruction book away and we've said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. What do you think, children? Do you think that the children obey your parents to the Lord, for that is right? Think about it. That you may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is that not a grand truth? Remember what James said in James chapter 1. He says, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And in that portion began with this way, for he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto man that behold his natural face in the glass. And that's what let me tell you what the psalmist is doing in Psalms 119. I thought on my ways, he looked into the mirror of God's word. And he said, mirror, mirror, what is it that I see? You guys know, what happens when you look in the mirror? He said, man, this needs some attention. I got to have a haircut and look at these wrinkles and look at that and on and on and on and on, don't we? For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto the man beholding his face in a mirror. For beholding himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember how the Sermon on the Mount started? Do you remember how it started? Blessed are those that mourn. In then from those verses all the way to chapter, from chapter 5 to verse 12, all of them start out with blessed. And then the Lord Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount the truths of what the kingdom of God and those who are part of the kingdom of God like, and the life that they're to live. And he comes to the end of that sermon and he says, if any man heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that builds his house on a rock. Is that not a wonderful thing to know, that listen, our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we apply the Word of God to our lives and we listen, we hear it, by the grace of God we apply it, that come what may, come storms what may, I will liken him like a man that builds his house on the rock, and when what? The storms come. What's going to happen? That house is on a sure, solid foundation. But what happens when a person doesn't listen to it? He says, I will liken him unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Calvary Baptist Church, listen to me. Would we take the time to stop and to think on our ways? And then when we find the things that we find about ourselves, will we run to the mercies of the Lord and say, Lord, wash me and cleanse me and forgive me? And then would you give us the same attitude as you give the psalmist when he said, and I turned my feet, I made haste to keep thy commandment. Will you enable me to embrace and to understand your word in my life in such a way that I would glean from these pages for everything that pertains for this life and for godliness? And when that's the case, that we can say, what a blessed people we are. And I want to say, we are going to be happy and blessed. Amen. When we sort through the jungle of everything that's being thrown at us, that we can say, wait a minute, let me see what God's Word has to say. Amen. What are the general principles of God's Word? Where does it start? It starts with faith in Christ. Starts with faith in the Lord Jesus. Starts with Him. It starts with the recognition that I'm a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. And I recognize that I have not ordered my life according to His Word. Matter of fact, I'm a sinner and I'm guilty. I'm a guilty sinner and I'm needy of His mercy. Wash me and cleanse me. And then the next thing is that, Lord, I don't want to do what I've done before. Now, Lord, will you help me and enable me to change my life? He's going to give you a new heart, and then He's going to give you new direction, and He's given us the instructions. Amen. And these instructions, I want you to know, are there not for us to be confused, but that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Thoroughly. May the Lord bless these things as we face 2017. Let's glean from it. Let's learn from it. Let's apply it. Let's live it. And then come what may, like we were singing earlier, Ken, that come what may in the course of our lives, the ups and downs and the dangerous toils and snares, that we can say, our God reigns. Amen. And I'm part of that kingdom. I am blessed. Amen. Have a blessed new year. Let's pray.